Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Is my microphone on?
Yes.
Thank you. I want to know if I need to yell or not. I'd prefer not to yell if I don't have to. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all. Who do you say that I am? This is easily a contender for the single most important question posed to us. How we answer that question in concert with those voices who first answered predicts the trajectory of our entire life, our corporate life, that is, together, as well as our lives, each one of us. One of the prevailing values of our culture is sincerity, even unto error. As long as you are sincere, you come pretty near to being unimpeachable. Sincerity covers over a multitude of sins, might be a suitable proverb in our own time. Indeed, whether or not we realize we are doing this, we often weigh the merits of beliefs by this metric, sincerity. It is not uncommon that we speak of various groups with the word Christian attached to them in this way, scrutinizing not very closely what they say about Jesus. It seems as though they sincerely love Jesus. That's good enough, as long as they are sincere. Maybe it comes to us in the form of a question like this: who is Jesus for you? Subtly shifting the focus of Christ's actual question, who do you say that I am, to who is Jesus for you? Not who do you say that Jesus is in his person as he is, but who is Jesus for you, you who are a moving target? And just about anything that might come out of our mouth will reward us with a polite nod and a smile. You have offered up a fairly unimpeachable response because you seem really sincere. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, i.e. Mormons, sincerely love a man who they call Jesus Christ. Yeah. I have met many of them. I can attest that they seem pretty sincere. They really do seem to love Jesus. Who do they say that he is? A creature created by God. God's nature, his essence, is not native to Jesus. Sure, he climbs to that summit, adopted by God, you might say, but a creature, nonetheless. Jehovah's Witnesses sincerely love Jesus Christ, who saved them. I have had them as neighbors. I can attest from personal conversations that they are very sincere. Who do they say that Jesus is? The Archangel Michael, come to earth in heaven, come to earth from in human form to save a dying humanity, and then returning to heaven as he was before, a powerful archangel, the first of God's creatures, through whom he created everything that is, but no member of a Holy Trinity. Indeed, no such Trinity exists. Perhaps we pay a visit to any number of culturally relevant churches in the neighborhood. They are typically not hard to locate if we look for whatever standard or banner they may be flying out front, or perhaps their values and beliefs sections on their website. You might find a room full of people, a pastor, a priest, whoever they may be, who are very sincere. I've read some of their books. I have known some as friends. I can attest that they sincerely love a man named Jesus. Who do they say that he is? Well, depending on who you ask, a queer man. Maybe he's trans. Perhaps he's a moral exemplar, a man ahead of his time, a proto-egalitarian, a proto-Marxist. Perhaps he really is a true revelation of God, but a God who is himself or herself or themselves in the process of self-actualization, becoming his best self. A God who was at one time angry and exclusive, but has now softened up and thought better of his relationship with his creatures. Perhaps we might go to any number of political rallies. Take your pick. There we can be sure to find a good number of very sincere people who really love a man named Jesus. They are certainly not hard to find. You can spot them by maybe the large sign of Jesus they are carrying, or maybe a t-shirt they're wearing. Who do they say that Jesus is? A Republican? Maybe a Democrat? A Libertarian? Okay, so maybe these versions of Jesus are like obviously dubious, springing up from the imagination, going off script, hardly grounded in what we can know about Jesus. But, it might be said, we have the biblical account. We believe in Jesus as he actually was. We can say meaningful things about him. Okay. Bart Ehrman, one of the most influential critical scholars of the biblical text in our time, has come to sincerely believe that the Christian faith is false. But he also would affirm this, has affirmed this, that few, if any, facts of ancient history are as well attested as that the man, Jesus of Nazareth, lived in Galilee, preached the kingdom of God, was arrested by temple authorities, and was crucified by Pontius Pilate. He sincerely believes that. Who does he say that Jesus is? A really intriguing figure from ancient history. Maybe we get really excited when we hear about or see crowds of young people turning up for something like a rock concert where songs about a guy named Jesus are going to be sung. Hands raised, eyes closed, tears running down their face, all the marks of sincerity. And they must be doing something right. I mean, after all, a lot of people turned up. Maybe. But Taylor Swift concerts draw a lot of people. Lots of raised hands and teary eyes. A football game draws a lot of people. A boxing match draws a lot of people. Comic-Con draws a lot of people. The danger of sincerity is that it is mostly hidden from sight. It lives in here. And therefore, it cannot really be scrutinized. You can test this for yourself to see the kind of reception you would get for critiquing someone's sincere beliefs, especially about Jesus. I will give you a hint. It will not be received very well. Why? Well, because they're really sincere. And, well, who are you to judge what's in somebody's heart? You can't see their intentions, their sincerity. Sincerity is elusive. It's a moving target. And this is the second danger of sincerity. It comes and goes with the ups and downs of our own affections. So, first of all, it is hidden. And secondly, it is not especially durable. But more importantly, sincerity is not the measure applied by Christ to St. Peter's confession. Many other options were offered by the disciples of people's sincere opinions about who Jesus is, none of which were commended or praised by Christ. Not a single one. The confession commended by Christ is commended for its content, the substance of the confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. As naturally as Simon is the son of his father Jonah, Christ is the son of his father. The Son of Man, the human one, is the Son of God. This is the mystery revealed by the Father, hidden from before the foundation of the world. This is what our hope hangs on. This is the confession we receive from the church, that the will of God is bent ever toward his embodiment, and that in that embodiment we are rescued from death and made to participate in God's nature. that God has created humanity fit for union with himself, that all creation is summed up in and finds its final form in Christ, God in man made manifest. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Bravo. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. This did not spring up from the moving target of your affections and your imagination, your own fancies, your private reflections, however sincere they may be. This was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, that is death, shall not prevail against it. It will not be subject to corruption, to decay, to passing fashions, but is being built up like living stones into a spiritual house, says St. Peter elsewhere. There is no other house within which we find real food, real nourishment, real shelter. Whether the rock is Peter, which occasions the change of name, Peter's confession, which constitutes the church, or Christ, the rock upon which the apostles' testimony is built. Take it whichever way you like. The answer is yes, yes, and yes. All of these readings speak to the truth. If ever we should throw our hands up when things go awry in the church, giving way to a kind of sentiment as, well, we shouldn't really put too much hope in the church, I would encourage us to invite some of the optimism of Christ. Death will not stand against the church. And remember what we have received from the apostles and their successors, the bishops. And, I might add, we cannot have Christ without the church anyway, for the church is his body. And hear what authority he has given to Peter, to the apostles, to their successors, the bishops, his church. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Such authority that God honors the judgments of his church, that what is ruled on earth stands in heaven. The check doesn't bounce. Such authority is this, that when the church gathers in council, the first question is, what did we receive? Because that stands, regardless of how sincerely you can tell me otherwise. Such authority is given that the church can say with confidence, without embarrassment, this or that is or is not orthodox. And the gates of Hades will not, cannot win that contest. So, who do you say that Christ is? What did we receive? We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. And I hope you know the rest. He is the beginning and the end, the summation of all things, the final form of every created thing, the mystery from before the foundation of the world, the light of humanity, the hope of glory, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Nothing less than that is a true and worthy confession. Nothing less than that belongs to the church, no matter how sincere the utterance of the name Jesus. Let us pray. Give us, O Lord, a steadfast heart which no unworthy thought can drag down, an unconquered heart which no tribulation can wear out, an upright heart which no unworthy purpose can tempt aside. Bestow upon us understanding to know you as you have revealed yourself to us, diligence to seek you, wisdom to find you, and faithfulness that finally may embrace you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.